morning, I would like to think once more again of silence. In the Vimana Kyuri Sutra, there is no explanation of silence. And also in this book record, case 84, no explanation of silence. So, anyway, this morning I would like to think about it with you. I think we should take into account the silence from two angles. One angle is to see the silence from human eyes. The other one is from Buddha's eye or universal eye, universe. We usually say Buddha's eye or enlightened eye, whatever you say, anyway, Buddha's eye. In terms of a human eye, I think silence has at least three kinds of flavors. Pessimistic, optimistic, and mystic. Because silence can be experienced in the state of being driven to a corner where you simply cannot move an inch. This is a state of this is an opportunity you can experience silence, real silence. This silence is quite different from despair. It's not despair, because in the area of the despair, still the flame of a consciousness, flame of a human desire is always burning there. So it's very difficult to go beyond the human desire. But real silence is a state of human existence passing through this despair. Then you can really see silence. But how can you experience this silence without this everyday life? It's impossible to experience silence. So when that's why in terms of human eye, I think this silence has at least three flavors: pessimistic, optimistic, and mystic. And also they work together. You cannot see them separately. That's a little difficult. It's very difficult to know what's going on there. So here is an interesting poem, but this poem I translated, so well, please forgive me my English. But anyway, I will read this person who wrote this poem had a little sad story. He was one of the war criminal during the Second World War. Because he was accused of murder at the Guam Island, killing one of the American pilot. But that story is not true. This is a story is interesting. After his death, we found a true story, but it's too late. Because he left us in the record and his diary. Simply speaking, I think American pilot they fell from the airplane and injured. So this person started to have operation for him. But during operation, this person was ordered by a senior officer to kill him. But this person didn't accept this order, and he continued to have operation for him. But right in the middle of operation, the place was bombed. So immediately everyone escaped from that dangerous situation, and then for a while he came back. But that pilot, American pilot, was stopped by somebody else. But nobody knows what the true story is. So he took all blame of the senior officers and also junior officers and soldiers and for crime. And then he died. He was executed. That is a story, simple story. So he wrote this poem a week before he died. He knew his death. Execution in a week. So a little bit of that story, but it's very interesting poem. So if I translate it, it's not a poem, but please understand the meaning, okay? Thanks to lamentation for pain in the world, I am able to become a laughter when one's life is happy. Due to being struck on, being trampled upon, and biting my lips to control my temper, I fully realize how precious it is to be born. Even if I am intentionally tired of an ugly world, look what the blue sky. Even if one laughs scornfully at my penniless life, there is something much more beautiful and true worthy. Everyone knows. I don't care so much anything else except only love and sincerity, the sun, and a little amount of rain from time to time. If I have a healthy body and a little piece of bread, I want to walk with smile in great spirits. I would do my best to walk since then without complaining anything at all. I always consider things putting myself in others' place. No matter how hard and heart-rending to live without thinking. If there is a son of misfortune, I will help him out anything. If I can forget myself to help out, that will surely make me delightful. In the morning the sun rises, I will do my best to live today, I greet. In the evening the sunset, staring at the evening glow, I want to sit still. With a little dream in my heart, I sleep quietly as a little bird. If there is my own time, I want to spend reading an old collected poem and meditate it along quietly. Let's find out happiness by ourselves. Let's keep walking ahead today and tomorrow. Within silver tears as pearl and laughter as the sun. Certainly someday I may quietly see my life with smile as I look back over my past. This is our poem. So if you read this poem think there is a mixed feeling of pessimistic and optimistic and also mystic. All three come together. The first, thanks to lamentation for pain in the world, I am able to become laughter when one's life is happy. Due to being struck on, being trampled upon, and biting my lips to control my temper, I fully realize how precious it is to be born. So through this, passing through pessimistic and optimistic, or affirmation or negation, and in life, in his life, and then he found out something more than pessimistic and optimistic. That is mystic, pretty mystical. But that mysticism is not that kind of something no one knows, but it's very clear for him. Because he realized how sublime, how precious human life is. So it's really something great, you know. The glowing sunrise. Kind of glowing sunrise, glowing something. So next, even if I am intentionally tired of an angry world, look about what a blue sky. So everyone feel this one, how ugly human world is, how ugly we are. But still there is an optimistic world there. Life there. So, look, what a blue sky. How beautiful it is. So, next word, two words working together there. Even if one laughs scornfully at my penniless life, for instance, your life, look at your life. If you don't have anything, positions and anything, people really laugh easily, scornfully at you. And also, if you become a Buddhist and the Christian people and you put you down, you're pretty awful. Maybe not. Even the Buddha in Japan, the priest and with a boy head and takuhatsu and begging practice, begging on the street, sometimes people really, you know, laugh scornfully at the monks. So even if one laughs scornfully at my penniless life, there is something much more beautiful and true worthy. Everyone knows this is a universal, something beautiful, something worthy. That's why we have to. The other day, Tony asked me, how can I say spiritual life to his daughter? Well, we don't know what the spiritual life is because it's a big issue. For the first step, I think we should reconsider anything. Once more again, we should think once more again. Okay? Being tied with common sense. Okay? Oh. Any kind of sense of value, you have to think once more again from a different angle, because there is something much more beautiful and much more worthy than usual people have. This is the first step to get into the door of, well, non-duality, spiritual life. So that's why he says, okay, so completely mixed, okay? I don't care so much anything else except only love and sincerity, the sun, and a little amount of rain from time to time. If I have a healthy body and a little piece of bread, I want to walk with smile in great spirit. This is his everyday life. Okay? But pretty mystic for usual people. we don't understand it. How can you be happy? Right in the middle of mixed sense of optimism and pessimism. How can you be happy? How can you be free from suffering right in the middle of suffering? We don't know. That's really mystic for us. But if you, but we have to go through this. We have to taste that flavor, optimistic flavor and pessimistic flavor, without being tossed away so much. Anyway, we have to go through. Then we can find out something mystic. I would do my best to work since then without complaining anything at all. So this kind of thing is for us to think. It's very difficult for us to think this one without complaining anything at all. I just do my best to work hard. It's very difficult. But what is his mystic life? Going beyond optimism and pessimism. This is a very simple life, you know, like this. I always consider things, putting myself in others' place. So because he fully realized how precious it is to be born, he said. So very naturally, he cannot think of his life only. His life is completely same as others' life. So he always put himself in others' place, and then he considers things, everything in the world. So very compassionate attitude there. So that compassion is not the kind of a sense of kindness and friendliness which occurs from time to time under certain circumstances. But this compassion is going under all circumstances, never change. So he says, no matter how hard and heart-rending to live, without flinching, constantly he does. Okay? If there is some misfortune, I will help him out anything if I can forget myself to help out. That will surely make me delightful. But still there is kind of a disappointment of how strongly ego works. It's very difficult to be free from his life, my life. But in his heart, constantly he is ready to share his life with all sentient beings. But still there is an ego there. So that's why he says, if there is some misfortune, he would like to help. Whatever it is, I want to help him out. But if I can forget myself to do so, that will make me really happy. That is his hope. Still there is a suffering there. Okay? In the morning, the sunrise, I will do my best to live today. I greet. So this is a very simple life. Day to day. Today is today, tomorrow is tomorrow. In the evening, the sunset, staring at the evening glow, I want to sit still. So morning, there is enormous energy to live with all sentient beings. So I will do my best to live with all sentient beings. This is his greeting with the sun, morning sunrise. But at evening, we don't know. We don't know the next. So if it is said that it was the time, excuse me, I was told that the time would come when war criminal was served with special dish, you know, in the morning. That is a time to be executed. So if they didn't have a nice breakfast and a special breakfast, they felt relief. One more day. But evening, we don't know, next day. So, but evening sun, that's why there in the evening, the sunset. Well, just I want to sit still. There is nothing to do for him. Now all he can do is to taste many flavors, pessimistic, optimistic, mystic, and something more than. You cannot say, this is exactly silent. Nothing to say. But when the silence appears in his life, there are lots of flavor, at least three flavors there. Now with a little dream in my heart, I sleep quietly as a little bird. If there is my own time, I want to spend it reading an old collected poem and meditated along quietly. This is all he could do. But anyway, he has always dreamed, but that dream is little dream. And with that little dream, what he can do is just sleep quietly, just a little bird. But still, this is his own life to build up his happy life, his life, with appreciation, expression of appreciation to all sentient beings. So, next he says, let's find our happiness by ourselves. So all we have to do is, no one gave you happiness, no one gave you satisfaction. Anyway, even the Buddha's teaching never gave you any satisfactions and happiness. Anyway, let's find out happiness by ourselves. But by ourselves doesn't mean to show your ego. In order to show your ego, you have to kill your ego anyway. Otherwise, you cannot show your ego. You cannot show yourself and find out real true happiness. So, that's why last, he says so. But before the last poem, I think how many kind of life he has passed through. Always his ego was killed. There is no opportunity for him to show his ego. Because due to being struck on and being trampled upon, biting his lips to control his temper, this is all his life which he had passed through. Finally, he can show his life. This is happiness. So that's why he says, let's find out happiness by ourselves. Let's keep walking ahead today and tomorrow. Anyway, what you can do is, let's walk today and tomorrow. With silver tears as pearl and laughter as the sun. That is really contradictory, optimistic and also pessimistic. Silver tear is sadness. But within the sadness, we have to see the sun shining. So, means you have to laugh, great laughter. So that's why he says, within the silver tears as pearl and laughter as the sun. Before, in the beginning of his poem, he says, He says, I don't care so much anything else except only love and sincerity, the sun, and a little amount of rain from time to time. Means that the sun means great laughter, bright aspect of human life. Okay? On the other hand, we need a little amount of rain from time to time. This is a tear on your face. So not much. If you have so much rain, it's really sad. So he hopes that I need a little amount of rain from time to time, not always. But we didn't tear this silver tear. Anyway, there must be the sun shining as a great laughter. That, he says, if you rain like this, rain, he says, certainly someday I may quietly see my life really smile as I look back over my past. And then if you live like this, then maybe you can see your life with smile. When you look back over your life, past life, you can smile. Whatever it is, mistake and not success and whatever it is. So it is. So this poem shows us what is a silent life. What is a silence is, and when the silence is be manifested in our life, what kind of flavor you can taste? This is really mixed of optimistic, pessimistic, and mystic. But remember, still in the deepest bottom of human life, deepest of those all three, okay? Optimism, pessimism, mysticism. Still there is what you call very vague, disconsolate pain there. That is a something. Unsatisfaction. Yesterday, Bob Warburg asked me whatever Buddhist teaching says, you know, effort, endeavor, patience, that negative feeling there. Well, this is whatever we do, in terms of human lives, in the deepest bottom of human life. If you see, if you face directly real silence, okay, and then you can build up your really life, so-called mystic life, okay? But still in the bottom, in the deepest bottom of human life, you can, it's very difficult to be free from a vague disconsolate. Okay, disconsolate, disconform. It's not pain, okay? It's not pain exactly, but kind of silent lamentation inside. Do you understand? That is always there. Remember, that's why Buddha said, life is characterized by suffering. It is called dukkha. So dukkha is not the usual sense of suffering. Is that clear? Quite different. But there is no other way to that real deep dukkha to be experienced without this. You know, the flavors, three flavors, optimistic, pessimistic, and mystic. Mystic is your building a new life you can build up. Okay? This is a silence when you see in terms of human life, okay? The next, if you see silence in terms of universe, or Buddha's eye. Silence is exactly as it is, or what it just is of itself. Very quiet. That is the Buddhism says. Buddha's teaching always mentions about this. True silence, in terms of in the light of Buddha's eye or universe, whole universe, silence, you can take the silence as it isness or thatness or what it just is of itself. That's it. So if you want to know who you are, really touching the real silence, deep nature of your life, you must be as you really are. Ha. Sitting. That's it. That's why sitting is very important for us, right? Very important. But there are two types of flavor there, okay? One is kind of very sharp and kind of cutting the something, cutting the delusions and the suffering, the pains, any emotions anyway, with a sharp sword. At a time, okay? That is Rinzai way, just like a man saying, kill the cat. Do you understand? Immediately, man saying, kill the cat. And because you don't say anything about the Buddha nature. But all monks kept silence, that's it. But if he has to teach, he has to wake up all monks anyway. So he did it. This is the one way, so called wisdom. With the sharp sword is kind of wisdom, but within the wisdom there must be compassion. That compassion is to see the human life for a long run. So even though temporarily it is awful actions or human behavior, but through this, by means of this behavior, human action, if there are many beings who attain enlightenment, it is wonderful. This is the compassion. The compassion is not something you try to create compassion and by what you try to wake them up. You cannot do it. Compassion comes from that the measure of your practice, which you have accumulated for a long, long time. Naturally happens. So that is that story. So the second type manifestation of silence is Dogen Zenji mentions, because all monks are silent, kept the silence, that's why, if I were nonsense, then master, I want to let the cat go. Because silence is what? Silence is to see, to accept all sentient beings just as it is. Okay? What it just is of itself. So I think to see everything just as it is, it's not so easy for us. Okay? You need again and again, you have to polish yourself, you have to train yourself, you have to refine your spiritual life. Anyway, we all see, otherwise you cannot see a thing as it is in the world, since it's easy to say so. But practically, it's not so easy. Like a Zen master, and that's why Dogen Zenji mentions this in this Udumbara, the last issue of Udumbara, my statement, Dharma statement in a funeral service for Jennifer S. the last part I said, ancestor says, when the mind has been extinguished, even fire is refreshing. This is a famous story there. The Zen master was killed in fire on the top of a temple, the upstairs of a temple, because he protected enemies. So enemies came into his temple to ask him to tell the truth about the enemies, but he didn't say. So finally, enemy really mad at this Zen master, and finally he set the fire. And then he died. And that story, and he says that story at that time, that he says, when the mind has been extinguished, even fire is refreshing. It is impossible to know this. But this is just like a non-sentient cat, in exactly. Okay? But next I say, but I want to say, life and death, coming and going, both are extinguished, just like this. Okay, Vimala Kyuri, this case. Purity or impurity, all are nothing to be attached. So, life and death, coming and going, pros and cons, success and failure, both are extinguished. At that time, fire is hot of itself, breeze cool of itself. Dogen Zen says, when you meet one Dharma, you penetrate one Dharma. Okay? In other words, if you meet the fire, you just meet fire. Not necessary to say that when the mind has been extinguished, fire is refreshing, fire is a cold water. It's not necessary to say. But you can say, you can experience. If you see the silence in terms of wisdom, there is a cut clear, very clear, something clear to cow. Okay? So fire is cool. But you have to return to this usual life. In other words, you have to live. From day to day, today you have to walk, keep walking, today and tomorrow, quietly, hard. Well, finally, all you have to do is fire, you have to face the fire, directly as it is. Whatever you say, fire is cool, fire is hot, beyond this one, what you have to do, finally. You have to just face. When you see one Dharma, you have to penetrate it. You have to practice it. That is a Dogen Zen dimension in the Genjo Koan. It's very simple practice there. When you do Gassho, you just do Gassho. Can you do this? This is simple, but it's not so simple. But this is very important for us. So I think in the Zen, in terms of the Buddha's eye, I think silence is total manifestation of your whole personality, which you have digested. Three flavors, okay? Optimism, pessimism, mysticism. Never come up, come back. All are digested. And that is a Zen way. Dogen Zen dimensions. So this silence is quite different from a silence in terms of human eyes. In the human eyes, in the deepest bottom of human life, you can't wipe out kind of a vague disconsolate. or pensiveness there. You can't wipe it out. All of you feel negative. But it's very vague. We don't know what it is. Very deep. Because it is beyond your consciousness or unconsciousness. It's already there. That is dukkha. Okay? But in terms of Buddha's eye or Zen teaching or Dogen Zen dimensions, it is that silence is exactly total manifestation of your personality, whole personality. Whole personality means your person, individual personality is your personality, but your personality is manifested with the whole universe. All other beings as the content of your personality. Okay? So when you manifest your whole personality, it is not your personality, it is your personality, but simultaneously through this personal personality, you can feel the whole universe. Okay? That's why this is magnanimity, or tolerance, or compassion you can feel. This is the whole personality. So silencing in the light of the Buddha's eye is a total manifestation of your whole personality. Okay? Whole personality. Which all things are digested, completed, okay? Until they become the energy for you. Okay? Many we have eaten the many foods, passion, pessimism, optimism, mysticism, but all are digested until they become complete energy. Leaving that their trace of the pessimism, optimism, mysticism, all just digested. Perfect digestion. And then, that is silence in Zen Buddhism, silence in the Buddhist way. So we don't know. He feels the suddenness. But if you say, what is death? What do you think about death? What do you feel in the presence of, right in the middle of death? What do you think? He says, I don't want to die. But I don't want to die. This negative way of life. He is still great laughter. But he can say, I don't want to die. Just like a greeting, in the same way as a greeting. Good morning. No technique. No technique. Just a greeting. I don't want to die. That's it. But for us, we want to think behind that. We always translate it, decode. Decode, do you understand? Translate, always decode what the people say, what the Zen teacher says, what do you mean? Always, immediately we translate it. Okay? But for him, it's just as it is. That's it. So I think that is a real silence, okay? Real silence. In Zen Buddhism and also in Buddhism in general. Okay. So if you read the poem, whatever, I think there is always a sense of deep disconsolate feeling, flavor there. Right? Like, Maria Rilke, like a poem the written on his Maria Rilke's tomb, you know, he says, "Rose, all sheer contradiction, desire to be no one's slave under so many lips." That is this is on the Rilke. Maria Rilke's tomb. This is some pre-mysticism. But in the bottom, there is some vague discomfort flavor and discomfort flavor there. You understand? Or another poem, this is a famous poem written by Kenji Miyazawa, who died at the 36 years old. He was a great poet in the modern age in Japan. He was a very serious Buddhist, believing the teaching of the Dharma Pundarika Sutra. This poem is one of his famous, okay? So I will read it. Neither yielding to rain nor yielding to wind, yielding neither to snow nor to summer heat, with a stout, S-T-O-U-T, stout, with a stout body like that, without greed, never getting angry, always smiling quietly, eating one and a half pints of brown rice and bean paste and a bit of vegetables a day. In everything, not taking oneself into account, looking, listening, understanding well, and not forgetting living in the shadow of pine trees, in a field, in a small hut thatched with mist, conscious, M-I-S-C-O-U-T-S-U-S. If in the east there is a sick child going and nursing him, if in the west there is a tired mother going and for her carrying bundles of rice, if in the south there is a someone dying going and saying, you don't have to be afraid. If in the north there is a quarrel or a lawsuit saying, it's not worth it, stop it. In a drought, shedding tears, in a cold summer, pacing back and forth, lost. Cold, good for nothing by everyone. Neither praise nor thought a pain. Someone like that is what I want to be. It is very mystical life, you know. Just like a stream of water, but still there is a pretty deep pensive flavor there. But this is a human suffering. Okay? So Buddhism is complete. Anyway, we have to go through this one. Anyway, pass through. Then, silence. Well, it depends on you. Silence becomes Arya Vijnana or Tathagata Gautama. Okay? When you accept the silence in terms of human eyes, silence is always shown Arya Vijnana, eighth consciousness, pretty deep human consciousness. You can touch the body. And then you can experience, you know, that silence. But I think you, as a Buddhist, we have to still responsibility for doing something more than, because you have to transmute that Arya Vijnana into Tathagata Gautama. That is really silent in terms of Buddha's eye. That time, you can really show your life just as you really are. When you see one, you can really face one and practice it, benefit. But it is not egoistic. It is not narrow view. It's already accepted. All sentient beings really with you as the content of your life. So that's why, just that's why in Avatamsaka Sutra philosophy, human life is based on a philosophy as mind is all is mind. So all you have to do is anyway deal with the one, and then through the one, through the dealing with the one, you have to manifest all. This is your personality, okay? Personality tells you, tells others, this philosophy. One is all is one. But if you become egoistic, obviously you can manifest one. So others completely ignore. That is your right, human suffering, okay? Okay, do you have a question?
You said Tony asked you about spiritual life, the first step that's important for us to take is looking at
Well, once more again, anyway, from a different angle. There's a common view, the view in the world is now, it's not the real true value, sense of value. Okay? So we have to refine and we have to chew once more again. That usual sense of value or happiness or unhappiness. Anyway, it's not the skeptical. Okay, don't be skeptical to all human life. Anyway, look at with a calm mind. Anyway, look at research, investigate what it is. Okay, that is in other words with open heart. Right, that's what I mean.
So I have another question. How is you're talking about waking up, you know, with a wisdom cut?
Because in terms of, if you see the silence in terms of human eyes, I told you, anyway, there is, it's pretty difficult to, for us to wipe out completely a sense of vague, disconsolate labor in the bottom, deepest bottom of human life, you can. And also problem is, we are pretty easily attached to it, or stumble over by this, okay? That's why it's very sticky, very sticky. It's not bother you so much, every day, not much, but often it comes up. Very often. So it's very difficult to be free from. So finally, how do you be free from this? And that's why Buddha mentions Four Noble Truths. That is a teaching of Four Noble Truths. That is then teaching always says, and the practice Zazen like this. Anyway, and then, anyway, you can cut through. Exactly. When? How? That is right now, right here. When you sit down, well, it's the best way to cut off that sticky stuff. Okay?
But it seems like it puts me to sleep, not waking up. I don't understand. That makes me sleep, or in a dreamlike state, you know.
Well, that is a usual human problem, you know. I'm talking about silence. Silence means how do you take care of that usual aspect of human life? From where? How do you take care of this? This is important, you know. Sleepy and disaster makes you sleep. That depends on your attitude towards Zazen, okay? So laziness or the unconscious dislike to the Zazen, etc. And very naturally, it makes you sleep easily, okay? So that's your usual human problem. But you can always you know, they stir up the human, the water of human life by this human problem, okay? Point is, how do you deal with this human problem? From where? That is your attitude, attitude, day to day. So you have to go through, you have to taste the bitterness through the sleeping zazen. And also you can still taste you know, something great and optimistic through the sleeping zazen. And the next moment you can do something wonderful zazen, okay? Because due to the having had the sleeping zazen for one period of zazen and two periods of zazen for a long time, that's why you can wake up anyway. Someday you can have a pretty good zazen. So, but basic attitude shouldn't be tossed away. Okay? Your life must be rooted on earth. That is important. How? It's not particular technique. It is silence. That's it. Silence is you have to be as you really are. That's it. What it just is of itself. Table is table. You don't understand this one, but it's tree is tree. That's it. In a word, we say, if you want to know real spiritual life, you have to taste yourself as you really are. Well, it's not necessary to stick to the forms, ritual, etc. All you can do is to taste you as you are. Well, it's pretty easy for us to say so, but it's not so easy.
How can you tell the difference between silence that has a pessimistic flavor and despair?
Silence is not always a silence. The silent we always understand in terms of usual conceptualization. So within the silence, there are lots of energies to be expressed with the world, with the body, with the mind. This is the silence. In other words, with the form. With a form, with the actions, with your thoughts, with your consciousness, there are lots of ways, lots of things there. So when the silence works in your life, you cannot see the silence without your actions, in thought, in mind, in body, okay? Because it is pretty abstract. What is the silence? Never know. You never touch it. But only you can be quiet and silent, you can taste it. Okay? In other words, silence, usually you can experience silence. Sit down, that is a very usual silence. Okay? Keep your mouth shut, this is the usual. But still keep your mouth shut. Your mouth is shut, but still talking. Don't you think so? It's not real silence. So real silence and talking is real silence. It's actually completely exposed as you are. This is a silence. Okay? Completely. This translator says completely exposed. Okay? You must be completely exposed as you really are. At that time, naturally, you have to be silent. Okay? So silent, your mouth should be silent, and your head must be silent, your body must be silent, your breath must be silent. All of silent, anyway. That is, and talking. Then at that time, the kind of a mystical light coming up. You can feel energies. Okay? Is that okay? Well, you appreciate your life, you know. After dozen sessions, you have energies to leave, like something like that. Your point is the difference between silence and the optimism?
No.
Or pessimism?
The difference between silence and despair.
Or despair.
Of silence.
That's a despair.
How do you know which one you're in?
Oh, despair. Despair, I mentioned that despair is kind of the terminal station you have reached after traveling for long distance, and then you come to the dead end, that terminal station, and then despair. If you don't move there, if you go someplace from the terminal station, that is a silence. Okay? But if you stay at the terminal station, that's a despair. Right? You understand?
When you're talking about dukkha.
Dukkha.
I get the impression that you're saying that there is some sort of negative beyond our consciousness.
Yeah, dukkha is unsatisfaction. Unsatisfaction. Yeah.
So it's not a concept, it's a sort of inner world.
It's not concept, but it's not concept, it's real, something real. Okay. You can experience. But it's very deep, that's why it's very difficult. But it's, even though it is very deep, as long as we can experience it, it should be conceptualized as ideas. That's where term, word comes up. So that is called dukkha.
The human view of silence, the pessimism, optimism, the mysticism, a question I have is why are we pulled to go beyond that?
No, necessary. Why? No reason. But naturally we want. We have to go. More or less, everyone do. Would you say once more again? Why we have to go beyond what?
Beyond the human view.
Oh, human view. Silence in the human view. Well, because we are always expecting something, you know, something more than something what occurs more than the conscious or unconscious. We want to know that. We want to know something conscious or unconscious. Beyond. Something more than the conscious or unconscious. Before consciousness or unconsciousness occur, we want to know something. Okay? That is. Well, what is it? This is what Buddhism says as it isness. Okay? Or thatness. Or truth. We say so. You know? Well, that is not something abstract, that is all sentient beings exist in that way. Exactly. That's why naturally you have to go. But if you don't, all that there is, you know, the very deep suffering there, unsatisfaction, and then stumble over. That is all that human beings do it. Okay? So if you look at the human world, I think some just live, okay, ignoring all stuff. Some live, well, they do their best to live, you know, in order to be successful and etc. But still, it is same things as the suffering. And the some, anyway, seek for the spiritual life, etc., in order to know, in order to be free from, anyway, human suffering. Okay, something like that. And some try to show human beings, human world as they really are through the poem, through the paint, painting, through the mountaineering, through the sports and music. This is culture. Okay? And then they experience something, silence, which is deep. But it's still something there. But a spiritual life is something you have to go through once more again, that one, human view. Okay? Silence in human view. And then you can return to in the same state of the tree as it is. That's it, your life. That is, I mentioned, in the Buddhistic view, silence is manifested like a very kind of sticky delusions with a sharp sword, like a nonsense. The Zen master who feels fire cool, like this. But on the other end, the other attitude, the other one is, you have to face, you have to practice one when you confront it with the one. One down. So when you see the fire, you have to see the fire as it is. How? It's not so easy. It's hot, but you have to just face fire. It's not beyond it's cool or hot. This is Dogen Zenji mentions, if I was nonsense, I want to let go of that. That's it. That is total manifestation of human life as in the as it isness, in peace, in harmony. That's their goal.
Excuse me, Mahasa. What do you think would have happened at the monastery if Nansen hadn't been there to solve the dispute?
What happened?
Yeah, if he hadn't been there to solve the dispute.
Well, what are you talking about? You are talking about the nonsense age, or you are talking about the nowadays?
Well, maybe he's been, on sabbatical for years.
What are you talking about? You are talking about my sabbatical? I'm not clear your question. Can you explain again?
Well, it seems like not with, that there was disharmony in the community. There was an argument between the east side and the west side about the chest. And so he came and he solved the dispute.
Yeah, that's why I told you when you read that all corn, the Joshu and Nansa asked the Joshu, one of his disciples. Do you remember what he did?
He put his hand on.
Yes, on his head and the left. That's up to you how you understand it.
That's a good answer.
And Dogen Zenji mentions, even though it is valuable, his action is valuable. His action is based on the compassion or wisdom, but still killing is killing. So he should take responsibility for his actions. Dogen Zenji mentions in the record of things heard. Well, but no one took him to the court anyway.
But what means are there for establishing harmony in a community?
Yes, and that's why I don't mean you should imitate such a way of life, even though it is right. Okay. So basic point is, we have to maintain, we have to always consider constantly the how to keep the peace and harmony under all circumstances. This is the point, okay?
But you're starting from the assumption that we start with peace and harmony. I start with the assumption that we start with greed, hate, and delusion.
Well, that's why I think that when you kill the cat, even though it is right, I think he should take responsibility for his action. That's what I said. So if you become angry, even though that anger is based on the right concept, right view, okay? But anger is anger. So you have to take responsibility for your actions. This is. Okay? So what do you mean? So next moment, you try to be calm. So in the standing in the usual sense of the usual world, and then dealing with the many things, I think there is it's very difficult for us to be free from a sense of a deep sadness and uncomfortable and uneasiness. Okay? Discomfort. It's very difficult. Even though no matter how long you try to be free from anger, hatred, anywhere in the dualistic world, or still in the bottom, there is something. That's why if you want to practice religion or Buddhism, well, don't deal with Buddhism and religion just like in the usual way as you do, you know. Filling the crack and the hole with the stuff, you know, technique, technologies, and etc. Okay? Of course, for a certain period of time, you can stop leaking, but on the other hand, another hole is there. So constantly you have to do it, forever. That is really deep suffering. Why do you do this? Because there is a constantly deep suffering there. So even though you don't want to do it, deep suffering compels you to do this, continue, forever. So from the beginning, that's why important practice is, from the beginning, don't deal with the Zazen you do in the usual way as, you know, we do. In other words, human eyes. You should deal with the Zazen in terms of Buddha's eye. This is very important, because that practice should be penetrated, thought through your life, okay? Penetrate your life. It takes a really long time, okay? So from the beginning, you have to always penetrate, okay? You have to put your body in that way, constantly. Otherwise, you know, it's pretty hard to know, to realize peace and harmony, free from that basic suffering, okay? So free from means not to throw away, okay? I think you should have a magnanimous mind, the tolerance, and enough to digest this basic suffering, and the, you know, that is called free flow, instead of always showing. Because it's pretty deep suffering. For instance, if I became a monk since 18, then if I look at myself in terms of human eyes, you know, obviously I can see some negative. Not much, affirmative. Just a little speck of dust. Just positive is very small. All the rest of them are completely negative. Okay? That's really disappointing for me. Don't you think so? That's why in the monastery we have to have a kind of pravarana practice at the end of the training sessions. Okay? Pravarana means reflecting upon the monk's life, what they have done during the training sessions in terms of Buddha's eyes, Buddha's teachings itself. So Pravarana literally meaning satisfaction of wishes, okay? In a deep wish, in terms of deep wish, the life is really satisfactory. Okay? So every day, every year on the July 15th or August 15th, they practice this. Why we have to do this?
When you mentioned Nansen, it reminded me of a conversation I had with someone about a phrase you used, two words, but I can't exactly remember, virtuous something. You said about certain Zen masters, ancients, and you advised don't try to copy them. They had great virtuous, I can't remember the name, but I wanted to know what that meant. Phrase. Phrase, a two word thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that. I can't remember exactly, but someone asked you about Dinji and they asked you about Nansen and said, don't try to copy them. They could do it because they have great virtues. Oh, I forgot.
Virtuous quality?
Quality, that's it. Virtuous quality. So I remembered the phrase, but couldn't remember what you explained about. Could you say a little bit about virtuous quality?
Virtuous. Well, I think virtuous quality is the original nature of the self. Pretty universal virtue. It's not the individual, it's not your own virtuous quality. The universal quality. Universal quality. In everyone's. Okay? That is so-called the original nature of the self, we say, or the self did prior to the parent's birth, we say, okay. Or we say the world prior to the 3,000 coppers, and etc. So that is a virtuous quality I mentioned. So everyone has virtuous quality enough to awake themselves, awake up themselves. Okay? This comes from, that virtuous quality is,
anything else?
So, what my question before was about my experience in Zazen of being in, not asleep, but not awake, in between their dreamlike state. So you're saying that each of us has this virtuous quality where we can eventually all come out of that and be awake.
Don't expect in no way. If I say so, people expect, wow, that's nice. So even though I am sleeping, and I have a virtuous quality, so virtuous quality brings me to the wonderful enlightenment in the future. Don't expect in no way. I'm not, it doesn't mean that. Okay? Virtuous quality appears only when you do it. That's it. It doesn't appear from my expectation, no. Only when you do it, it's appear. But when you sleep, it doesn't appear, but it's quietly there. But when you do the Zen exactly, then it's appear.